I want to talk to you for the next few minutes from the subject, having the will to win. Having the will to win. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter and the 14th verse is our foundational text. And it says, now thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto who, class?
God.
Thanks be unto God, which not sometimes, but... We're going to try that again. Which not sometimes, but... always causes us to triumph. This is the most important part. Where? In Christ. You always hear me say, if you do things God's way, what's going to happen? You're going to get God's results. The more you live for God, the more you do things His way, the more you follow His word and His precepts and His standards, you will see God show up in amazing ways in your life. My objective simply today is to get you to a point in faith where quitting is not an option as you move into 2026. Something that I've always said is that when quitting is not an option, victory is inevitable. The only people that don't win are the people that quit. If you learn to stay in the fight, you will win. If you keep swinging, eventually you're going to hit something. But the key is having a will to win, having a discipline, having a conviction that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, that I am in it to win it. You got it? That I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe. And I believe He's a way maker. I believe He's a miracle worker. I believe He's a promise keeper. So I am in it to win it. Are there any people that have made up their mind that they are in it to win it? So regardless of any challenge you face, it may have taken you by surprise, but it has not taken God by surprise. And you've got to know that God already knows what He's going to do in your life and in your situation. The key is learning to live by faith. The Bible teaches us that the just, those who have been declared right because of the blood of the Lamb, that we are, we live by faith, all right? And so faith is not something that we use like a spare tire. You know, we get it just in case of emergencies, but faith is a way of life. We live by faith. You got it? But not only do we live by faith, we win by faith. 1 John 5:4 says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So I live by faith and I win by faith. Everybody say, I live by faith,
I live by faith.
And I win by faith. And that is why Pastor has systematically taught you faith and how faith works and how to live by faith. As we move into the beginning of January, I'm going to teach along those lines. It has a lot to do with the word that God gave us for 2026. I'm going to share the prophecy on Wednesday night, New Year's Eve. So you want to be in the house, and God has given me a lot of instructions, and I'm telling you, God is taking us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. But it is important that you have faith. It's important that you're trusting God. It's important that you're in the room, not just some Sundays, but every Sunday that you can be here. Can I get a... I understand vacations. I understand if you're not feeling well. I understand if you have work. But other than that, how many know we should be in the house of the Lord so we can get everything we need from God? Doesn't that make sense? So vitally, vitally important, because you have to understand that the enemy is out there. He's coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know, he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that is why it's important that I'm hanging around people of like precious faith, that I'm in times of worship and getting the word. A lot of times when you're in worship, you know, you have to make sure that you're not getting distracted, because the enemy loves to distract us. All right. And one thing I'm always observing, and unfortunately, every Sunday I see distractions over here and distractions over there. And I'm always praying, Father, I curse the spirit of distractions, because it's not really a person. That's a spirit that tries to distract. Why? Because you're trying to hear from God. You've got your eyes closed and your hands lit, and this is happening over here, and somebody's doing something over here. And we've got to learn in times of worship and in times of word that there shouldn't be movement. There shouldn't be things that are out of order, that I've got to stay in place so I can get everything I need from God. Does that mean? Pastor's trying to help you. I'm trying to teach you. You got it? Yeah. few weeks ago, I had to go to the back and handle some things. Why? Because what I'm not going to allow is a spirit of distraction to come in here. Come on, somebody. And you're trying to get what you need from God. You got it. And because, you know, people want to show off. You understand that, you know, and act super spiritual and they ain't spiritual none. You understand what I'm saying? And then what happens is it throws every, because instead of worshiping, you're like, what's going on in here? You know, who's doing that? That's a distraction. And as the man of God of this house, as the pastor, in a very loving way, it is my job to make sure that I don't allow distractions so you can hear from God so your spiritual needs will be met. Does that make sense? You know, I was telling Ben, you know, in my office, you know, like, this whole thing is not a game. You understand? You hear me a lot of times say giving is not a game, but this whole thing is that living for God is not a game. Operating in His Word is not a game. Living by faith is not a game. Listen, if you do things God's way, you're going to see God results in your life. And see, that's my job to teach you. I'm your faith coach. I'm your cut man. I can't get in the ring with you, you understand? But when you come over to the corner, you understand? Like today you're in the corner. You understand what I'm saying? And I can kind of bind you up and tell you, you should have went left instead of going right. You understand? I do that through the Word, of course, giving you instruction. So when you go back out of these four walls into the ring, you can give that devil an uppercut. Hello, somebody. And knock him out in Jesus' name. But if I won't stand and be bold and see distractions and stop distractions, then the enemy knows, oh, I got them because all I got to do is have something happen here and have something happen here. And we can't allow that to happen. Does that make sense? So the enemy wants to distract us. There's several ways he wants to distract us. One way the enemy loves to distract us is with contrary circumstances. These are circumstances that look fearful, they look dangerous, and they even look impossible. Last week, we talked about what to do when things don't make sense. And we talked about Mary. She's getting, and she's engaged to Joseph. She's got her life plan. Hey, Ty. I didn't say Ty was in the house. Give Ty a big hand. And so right in the middle of my lesson, give Ty a big hand. It's okay. And so what happens is, you know, Mary says, look, I got my own life planned. But how many know His ways are not our ways, and neither are His thoughts ours, because His are higher than ours. And so Luke 1 and 37, I read it to you last week. It says, for with God, nothing shall ever be impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. And so not only when we hit these contrary circumstances, we have to go to the Word, because God gives us His Word, but not only does He give us His Word, He backs it up with His power to perform it. Let me tell you what our job is. Our job is to have faith in the Word. So the enemy tries to just say, attack your body. You understand? We've got some different members that even this morning say, hey, you know, somebody's baby woke up with a fever. And, you know, and so we said, we cursed that fever in Jesus' name. You got, what did we do? We immediately took authority over it in the name of Jesus based on the Word that Jesus took 39 stripes. And because of those stripes, that baby ain't going to be healed. That baby's already healed. Does that make sense? Yeah, but we did it by faith, because we hadn't gotten the call yet that said the fever broke, but we're never moved by what we see, only by what we believe. So as soon as we heard it, we said, well, we called him a healed and whole in Jesus' name. So because we don't go by situations and circumstances and what it looks like, we walk by and not by. So the enemy will try to distract you with contrary circumstances. The second thing, the enemy will try, if that doesn't work, the second thing he'll try to do is distract you with the cries of the critics. How many know in life somebody's always going to have an opinion? That's just, you just can't do anything about that. You got it, you know. You drive an old hoopty, they're going to talk about you. The Lord bless you and give you a new car. They're going to talk. Like, you can't worry about that, right? And so don't worry about the cries of the critic. The best thing that you can do is learn to ignore outside noise. That's one of the best things you can do in your life, is learn to ignore outside noise and make sure that the Holy Spirit is the loudest voice in your life. God needs to be the loudest voice in your life, because there's always going to be voices out there. They're always going to be chattering. They're always going to be talking, but make sure that Holy Spirit is the loudest voice in your life. And how, Pastor, do I make sure that the Holy Spirit is the loudest voice in my life? The more you spend time with God, the more you pray, the more you get, you know, spend time in in devotion, the more sometimes, you know, when I pray, I have a regimen of how I pray. I'm just a systematic person. I'm just like that. You know, I pray the word. You know, I start off with the prayer of thanksgiving. I enter into his gates, of course, with thanksgiving, you know, and I pray the prayer of petition, things I need. I pray over my marriage and I pray over my kids. I've been doing this for years and everything's going good. And you don't stop because everything's going good. You keep going because everything's going good. Does that make sense? And so I'm covering everything with the word. So that way, if something happens that is not supposed to happen, you got it. I'm surprised. You understand? You got it. Now, I know it didn't take God by surprise, but I'm surprised because that's not supposed to happen. Come on, somebody. There's not supposed to be confusion in my family. Ain't nobody supposed to be sick in my family. Ain't nobody supposed to be broke in my family. Come on, somebody. You understand what I'm saying? So if something happens, then I say, hold on. The devil is a lie. You got it? And so I begin to, I'm getting ahead of myself, declare the word of the Lord in my life. All right? So let his voice be the loudest voice in your life. Don't worry. Everybody's going to have an opinion. Well, I think you ought to do this, and I think you ought to do that, and I think you ought to do that. You know, but the biggest question is, what does God think? And I think you have to learn how to follow God's plan for your life, because if you start listening to people, they'll have you going every which way, right? So the enemy will distract us, we said, with contrary circumstances, with the cries of the critics. And then the last one is the compromising crowd. Everybody say compromising crowd. They scale back, so they think you ought to scale back. You got it. But one thing I've learned in life is I'm never going to scale back my expectations of what I want God to do in my life because of the small-mindedness of others. Maybe you don't believe we serve a big God, but I believe we serve a big God. Maybe you don't believe he's a miracle worker, but I believe he's a miracle worker. Maybe you don't believe he's a way maker, but I know he's a way maker. I know for myself, because he's got a resume of doing so many amazing things in my life, because you can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. You got it. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just can't keep it to myself, right? When you know God has been good, how many know you got to tell somebody? You got to testify of his goodness. You got to testify of his greatness. You got to testify of his love. You got to testify of his mercy. Oh, we thank God for his blessings, but I'm equally appreciative for his mercy, because I woke up today with a brand new day and brand new mercy. Now, for all the Christians that think they're perfect and never made any mistakes, this ain't for you. But for all of us that have made mistakes, fell short of the glory of God, come on, somebody, we thank God for his mercy. So don't scale back your expectations because of the small-mindedness of others. Let me help you. What God has for you is for you. And you can do one thing. You can receive it by faith and walk in it, or you can worry about what others say. And at some point in your life, you're going to have to make up your mind that I'm going to stop worrying about what others say and I'm going to live my life. Does that make sense? Yeah. People will impose limitations on you. And the danger of them imposing limitations is that it hinders your expectation. When my expectation has been hindered, my faith has nothing to work with. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. So when you have defrauded my expectation, you have now defrauded my, when you've hindered my expectation, you have now defrauded my hope. And my thing is, who are you to tell me what I can do and cannot do, what I can accomplish and cannot accomplish? If I take this word and if I operate by faith, the Bible says all things are possible to him that believe. So I'm going to trust God. You got it. And I'm going to see it through in my life. Amen. All right. That was all my introduction. All right. How many points you think Pastor has?
Three.
You already know. Pastor has three simple points that are going to help you as you have this will to win as we enter into 2026. All right. There's some things I need you to watch for. All right. There's some things I need you to watch for. All right. Let's jump right into it. Everybody say number one. Number one, watch your words. Watch your words. Your words will make you or your words will break you. What did Pastor say? That's right. I said your words will make you or your words will break. Most people have not made a connection between what they say and what they have in their lives. All right. That's why you can't go around saying stuff that you think is funny. You know, oh, girl, I'm so broke, I can't pay attention. Do you want to be broke? No. So don't say that. You know, you got it. These kids about to drive me crazy. You understand what I'm saying? Do you really want to go crazy? No, but you know what I mean. No. See, it's not about what you mean. It's about what you said. If there was no devil involved, then say what you want. But there's a devil involved. You got it. And so that's why you have to be careful what you say. Proverbs 18 and 21, very familiar passage of scripture. It says that death and life are in the power of the devil. It didn't say that, did it? Shout me down when I'm not teaching right. Now, we got a rule here without limits. I don't care if it's me or anybody else. Get up here and start teaching wrong. You shout them down. Come on, somebody. So he didn't say death and life are in the power of the devil, because the devil ain't got nothing to do with it, because he's powerless in your life and my life, because our big brother Jesus whipped him on Calvary. So really, the only power the devil has in your life is the power you give him. And a lot of times it happens by us opening our mouth and saying the wrong thing. So he says death and life are in the power of the and they that love it, he says, eat the fruit thereof. So if you love life, you got to speak life. You got it? And you got to speak it over and over and over and over. Matthew 12 and 37 says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So my words make me, or my words break me. And that's why I've got to watch what I say. I've got to watch what I say, because I'm going to have what I say. You got it? The Bible says that, you know, he'll satisfy us with long life and show us his salvation. Right? How many believe that? All right. Well, you have to open your mouth and declare that every day, several times a day. I declare that over my life and over my family's life and over my children's life. You understand? You know, and I've always declared, Father. And of course, I always pray for you. You got it. And I got a system. You understand what I'm saying? I pray for my family. You know, that's my immediate family. You got it. Me, Lady, Jay, Hannah. And I added all of them a while ago. You got it. If they're going to be connected, you know, I got that. And then I do my family, you got it. That's still immediate, but not right inside. You got it. You know, that's the Beck, Jones, Taylor, Scoggin. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just all. I call out the last names of everyone in my family. Then I pray for you. But every day when I pray, I say, Father, I thank you that you satisfy me, and I'm very specific with a long. Got it. And then I say, healthy, peaceful, joyful. You got it. Content. Prosperous, debt-free life, you know, and you show me your salvation, not some days, but every day. And watch this. And if you keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, maybe not overnight, but over time, you're going to end up walking in whatever it was that you said. Does that make sense? So that's why you have to. And listen, I've been declaring this over my life for years. I remember when Lady and I, you know, when we were first young. You know how it is when you're first young. You don't have a lot of money. You're trying to put things together, make things work. Well, I was declaring a prosperous life for us years ago. Watch it. It didn't happen overnight, but it happened over time. And what I'm telling you is, you have to take the word of God. You got it. And you need to put some form of confession for your life together. And you need to confess it on a daily basis. We have given you confession books, and they're online. They're on the church app. When we fast, there's a confession. For the new year, there's a confession. We've had a momentum confession. If you just made that momentum confession one time every single day this year, that was good. You understand? Because it encompassed so much. And so you've got to make sure you understand that I can't go about life just letting whatever's going to happen happen. No, I'm going to create my world with the words of my mouth. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the things not seen. When it drops down, the verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So God said it, and it was so. The Bible says, as he is, so are we in this earth. So we are not God, but we are like God, because we are his children, and his DNA is in us. So the same way God had the ability to open his mouth and say, let there be, and it was, you have the same ability. So my thing is, why are you complaining? Why are you griping? Why are you talking about this person and that person about what you don't like and how they treating you? Why don't you go and have a little talk with Jesus and start declaring over your marriage, over your children, over your finances, over your family, so you can see God do amazing things in your life. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so you gotta, you know, listen, y'all, I'm giving you the key, but you gotta take it, and you gotta act on it in your life. All right, y'all get anything out of this? 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. It says, "Be not what class?" All right, what does the word deceive mean? Deceive, a good class. All right, don't be deceived. Evil communications do what? Corrupt good man. So evil communications, evil gossiping, evil communications. Cussing, evil communication. Running folk down, evil communication. And if you do that, you got it. It corrupts good manners or who God has really called you to be. Does that make sense? Oh, it got quiet in here. All right. All right. Yeah, so that means somebody been cussing. And Christians ain't supposed to cuss. Well, the Bible ain't up. Be not deceived. Evil communication. Would you agree that cussing is evil communication?
Yes.
All right. Cussing is evil communication. All right. You can go to the NL. You can go to KJV, NLT, NIV, AMPC, and it's all going to tell you it's the same. You understand? All right. All right. So you know, so cussing, that's evil communication. You got it. Gossiping, that's evil communication. And sometimes, and I don't mean to be mean by that, sometimes you'll be trying to do right, but not understanding that you're doing some things wrong. And it's the things that you're doing wrong a lot of times that are holding you back, not the things that you're doing right. Because a lot of us have not made a connection between what we say and what we have in our lives. You know, if you're married, and I'm just going to look right here. You know, if you're married and you're upset with your spouse and you're going to call somebody and talk about them and be like, she make me sick or he make me sick. You got it? Well, that ain't going to work out too good. Because guess what? Every time you see them, you're going to be because you have what you say. So, oh, Pastor, that ain't what I mean. No, but that's what you said. So I don't necessarily mean to be physically sick, but I'm saying you're always going to be aggravated. But you got it. But you know, if you think about somebody like my kids, you know, I still make the same confession that I've made over them for all their lives, but I've added to them. My kids are bright. They're intelligent. They're smart. They're disciplined. They're obedient. They will serve God all the days of their life. They will find God's purpose early in life. They will remain sexually pure till they become married. They'll marry the right person the first time. I ain't just start saying this yesterday. I've been saying this, you know, since really I started a confession the moment Jay was born. You got it? And then added the moment Hannah was born because it was all he, but she's a she. You understand what I'm saying? So I had to change that thing around. And so what am I pushing? A lot of times as believers don't understand that what we say, you know, it holds a lot. And if we'll start switching what we say and start speaking the word of God, because the things that I speak, Jesus said, are spirit and life. So when I'm speaking the word, I'm speaking life. So when I speak life over my marriage, when I speak life over my finances, when I speak life over my body, you understand what I'm saying? Then I begin to see life happen in those areas. Does that make sense? All right. Y'all get anything out of this? Hebrews 10 and 23. Hebrews 10, man, the time flies. All right. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without doing what? For he is that promise. In other words, he's a man of his word. All right. How many in the room believe he's a man of his word? All right. How many believe that if I confess the word of God and speak life on a consistent basis, maybe not overnight, but over time, I'm going to see it manifest in my life. How many believe that? All right. So if you're not doing it, just start today. Just start today. And if you don't know where to start, go to the web or the app. You got it. Go to confession, the confession book, confessions to go. There's confessions of victory. If you're pregnant, there's confession for childbearing. If you're married, there's confessions for marriage. If you're single, there's confessions for single state. There's confessions for my health. When we fast, there's a confession for when we fast. There's just all kind of confessions. And all it is a accumulation of different scriptures that we took from the word of God and put them together and sentence form so you can start declaring that over your life. All right. So everybody say, watch your words. All right. Here we go. Number two, watch your ways of conduct. Everybody say ways of conduct. All right. Yeah. What do you mean? Your mannerisms, how you behave yourself. 1 Samuel 18 and 14, it says, and David behaved himself, how class, wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. It's very important that you learn to behave yourself wisely in all your ways. Not just, you know, I'm good till I'm at the red light and somebody blow their horn behind me. You understand? And not just bump, bump, but you know, you at the red light, it just turned green. It just turned green. It ain't like you was on your phone. You got it. You know, it just, and you hear right behind you. You got it. See, for some of y'all, it's going to take Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and Casper the Friendly Ghost to make you, some of you brothers, not get up out your car. You understand what I'm saying? No, let it go. Everybody say, let it go. Yeah, let it go. You are in line. You got it. And then you're trying to handle something. And somebody that don't even know you, four people back, make a comment. You understand? And then see, the problem is, it's not that I have the word. Because a lot of times, a lot of us have the word, but there's the devil. You understand? And I that's why I told you, if it wasn't for the devil, you know, it wouldn't matter about confession, but it matters. So now, you know, you got somebody that says something about four. Y'all about done up there? We've been waiting all day. You got it? And now, brothers, if you're not careful, you think your manhood's being tested. You know? And here come the devil. Oh, is he talking to you like that? Is he talking to you? He don't know who you are. And then the devil tell him he don't know who you are. And if you ain't careful, you look on back. And y'all know how we do. We hold our eyes straight. We don't blink. You understand? Now, a lot of times, let's just be honest. Let's just, the brothers, let's just go with, if they straighten up, we let it go. But if they okay, what's wrong? See, then that's the problem. That's the problem. And that is where the Bible says in the book of Galatians, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And there's one very important one that says self-control. And I've got to learn that this is my thing. When people talk trash about me, you know, it don't bother me. You understand what I'm saying? I guess I shouldn't say it don't bother me. I've allowed it not to bother me. Does that make sense? Yeah. And because my whole thing is, I don't focus on that. You got it. I focus on the fact I serve an amazing God who has given me an amazing life. I have a beautiful wife. I have wonderful kids. I have an amazing church family. You understand? So I'm not going to let that moment, you got it, of you thinking that you got me in front of everybody. Because see, that's the problem, brothers. We don't want, you know, like the reason we flex is because we want to make sure that you and everybody else know, you know, I ain't no punk. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I mean, am I right about it? Come on, brother, tell me up. Am I right about it? Yeah. You know, you just let them know. Hey. You know, I don't want to go there, but I can go there. I will meet you at the car after I get in my trunk. Yeah. You don't want to do that. But that's the way the enemy would take you. And so now, watch this. When it comes to doing something, I don't know why I'm going this way, but can I go this way? That causes you not to have self-control, whether it's going off on somebody. You got it. Whether it's a sin, you understand? Just no matter what it is, you have to maximize the consequence and minimize the pleasure. Because truth be told, yeah, you could go off on them. You might be able to knock them out and everything, you understand? But there's consequences that come with that. Does that make sense? When we sin, there's consequences that come with that. You got it? And so whenever the enemy's trying to tempt you in a certain way, you have got to maximize the consequence and minimize the pleasure. So watch this. So I can do it God's way so I can get God results in my life. Oh, that's good right there. Everybody say, watch your conduct. Watch your ways of conduct. Yeah, watch how you behave yourself. All right. Let me give you my last one. All right. Everybody say number three. Watch your ways of thinking. You got it? Your mind is the arena of faith. You got it? You know, and how you think is important. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he or she, as the case may be. And that's why the writer says that I have to guard my heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. I got to watch what goes in. Because what happens is it doesn't start here, it starts here. Thoughts hit me here, and if I receive those thoughts, it goes down into my heart. And that's why you hear people talking crazy, because it started up here. These negative thoughts came. Negative thoughts from the enemy of just whatever, you know. And then what happens is if you ponder on those and if you receive them, they drop to your heart. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. You got it? So I have to be careful what I allow in. I know sometimes people laugh at me because, you know, and you're not going to go to hell for watching a rated R movie, all right? Let me just say that. But Pastor, I don't do a lot of that stuff, right? But look, that's just my conviction, because I know that I got to have my heart a certain way. I hear enough cussing without watching it. Just go to regular TV, they cussing all the time. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. All the sex scenes, you know, well, you can't control it. It has nothing to do with that. I'm following the word of God that I'm controlling what's going in. I'm guarding what's going in. Come on. Because watch this. If it don't get up, Come here, come here. Oh, come here, come here. One, two, three, four. Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Come here, come here, Jay. Come here, Fonz. Come here. Come here, KJ. Come here, Carl. Y'all line across the front. Come on, get in the front. All right. All right. Come here, Jonathan. Doctor. All right. So, as a matter of fact, you know what? As a matter of fact, let me change that. Let me change that. All right. Ben, you go to the left. Pat, you go to the right. You go to the left. All right. So, this is what I'm going to do. All right. Y'all look at me. I'm going to stand right here. All right. Let me see. Let me see. Let me see. I'm going to stand right here. And come here, baby girl. You stand right there. Right here at the front. Yep, face me. Isn't she pretty? That's my baby girl. She's 19. She will be graduating from UNC Charlotte this year with her bachelor's already. Amen. Praise the Lord. She's not on the market, though. Praise the Lord. I know she's fine as wine, you understand? She got brains and she got her own money, but she dating Jesus right now. All right, all right, all right. So y'all act like Hannah was trying to get to me. Maybe I shouldn't use Hannah because that's my baby girl. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, baby girl, go sit down. John, come here. You stand right there, all right? Now, you're not going to, but you're going to act like you're coming at me, right? You ain't got to jump up. You act like you're coming at me, all right? Okay, what y'all going to do? How y'all going to? Y'all got to guard me. Y'all got to guard me, all right? All right, now, what if John was going to come to the left? What is he going to come to the left? You got it. Huh? What if he going to come to the right? All right, John, step up, step up, step up, step up. All right. Okay, all right, so you're going to step to him. So watch this. So the Bible says, so I'm the heart, right? The Bible says to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. The reason I've got to make sure I got all these guards on guard around me is because the enemy has always got something going on. He wants this to happen, that to happen, that to happen. But if you're ready before you go out of the morning, because I've already prayed, I've already made my confession, it doesn't matter what comes at me, I'm already guarded with all diligence. Give them brothers a big hand. Does that make sense? And the reason I wanted you to see that is because now you see the importance of court placement. We got to go home. Now you see the importance of, man, I got to guard my heart. Because brothers, if somebody out there try to make you feel small, if you don't guard your heart, you're probably going to cuss them out. I'm just telling you. But if you guard your heart, you won't. Because you'll remember, I'm facing this, but what do I got at home? And what I got at home is way more important than this foolishness. So you want to make me look stupid? No problem. You got it. You want to make me look dumb? No problem. You got it. None of that don't bother me. You got it. Because I have a relationship with God. He's doing something in my life. You got it. You got it. I'm not perfect, but I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. You got it. I'm trying to be the best I can be. And so that's what you have to do. So whether it's sin, whether it's a, you know, dirty movie, just all kind of things, gossip, you know, that people come to you with gossip, just all kind of things. Learn how to have enough confidence in Jesus that you're willing to take the high road and say, man, I'm not doing that because I don't want to mess up what God is going to do in my life or what God is doing in my life. You got it. How many in the room feel like God's been pretty good to you? And how many in the room say, man, I really don't want to mess this thing I got going up with Jesus, right? I don't want to mess it up, right? That's how you think. And when you think like that, when situations happen, road rage and all that kind of stuff, now it's more easier for me to pass. You got it? Because I don't have to watch this, I don't have to be the man, or I don't have to make you think I'm somebody. I already know who I am. Watch this. And the ones that love me already know who I am. And so I can walk away with you laughing, with you joking me. It don't matter. Watch this. Because I'm walking away from that, but I know what I'm going to. And when you know what you're going to, man, it changes everything. Does that make sense? Give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building. I want to pray for you. Let's stand all over the building. Don't move. Don't grab your purses. It's not time to go home, but I want to pray for you. Thank you, Father. Sometimes I say lift your hands just so you know there's several ways you can do it. Now, some people like to lift their hands like that. Some people just like to lift their hands like that. And that's okay. Matter of fact, just do it just like this. Just lift your hands like this. And when you lift your hands like this, it's a sign of surrender. It's a sign of humility toward God. It's a sign that says, Father, not my way, but your way. In other words, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, I don't want you to do it without me. I need you to help me. I need you to make me. I need you to mold me. I need you to shape me into the person that I know you've called me to be. Lord, I know I've messed up. I know I made some mistakes. No, I know I fell short. But Lord, I'm standing here with my arms lifted to you in surrender. Maybe some of us are saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me and clean. I'm sorry for how I act. I'm sorry for being angry. I'm sorry for running my mouth. I'm sorry for doing this. And as of today, Lord, I commit to be better. I can't be perfect. That's you. You're perfect. But I can be better. Because God's not looking for perfection, but he's looking for progress. And so, Father, I thank you for every person in this room with the uplifted hands as a sign of surrender to you. And I thank you for what you are doing in their lives. And I thank you that your relationship with them, Father, is growing by leaps and bounds. I thank you that you are the loudest voice in their life. I thank you that things are getting better in their life. I command every crooked place to be made straight in their lives in the name of Jesus. I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that has tried to attack them, that's tried to attack them in their mind, that's tried to attack them in their emotions, that's tried to attack them in their relationships and in their marriages and in their families. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you at the authority of the name of Jesus. And I declare the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is guarding your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I declare God is giving you the wisdom you need for the days ahead. I declare in the name of Jesus that God is giving you the favor you need for the days ahead. I declare in the name of Jesus that you need to, as of this moment, to forget what was behind you, to forget the former things, to don't dwell on the past, because as of today, God is doing a brand new thing in your life. I declare in the name of Jesus that what was before shall be no more in your life. What do you mean? That chaos is not coming back. That sickness is not coming back. That confusion is not coming back. If you're married and your spouse is next to you, grab their hand in the name of Jesus. I pray even now, Father, that you are strengthening relationships. I curse the spirit of division right now. The Bible says God has caused a man and a woman to come together and the two shall become one. And a lot of times the enemy comes with a spirit of division. Sometimes it's just the devil. Sometimes he uses people to get between you. But I declare in the name of Jesus that nothing shall separate the two of you in Jesus' name. I curse the spirit of division and everything that's not like God that tries to attack that marriage. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you at the authority of the name of Jesus. I thank you for the peace of God in that marriage. I thank you that communication is taking place. I thank you that forgiveness is taking place. Ultimately, I thank you, Father, agreement is taking place so that they can together walk in faith and experience all the amazing blessings you have for them in the name of Jesus. And I declare in the name of Jesus for every person under the sound of my voice in this room and online that nothing by any means shall be able to hurt you. That weapons may come, weapons may form, but they will not prosper. There may be moments that you might bend, but you will not break. I declare God is doing something brand new in your life as we enter into 2026. And so I'm here to tell you, if there's anybody you need to forgive, do it now. If you need to offer forgiveness, in other words, go ask somebody for forgiveness, do it as soon as we leave and get your heart right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Rese teke levoko rosata. Roso toko levoko rosata. Rese teke levoko rosata. Because unforgiveness is holding some of you. It's like you're not in jail, but you are in jail. Unforgiveness because of what somebody did. And I'm not saying it wasn't right. And I'm not saying what they did wasn't true. But what I'm saying is you got to get to a point where even if they what they did was wrong, it was dead wrong. You have to understand forgiving, is about you not just releasing them, but releasing you. It's about you finally making a decision that I'm going to let it go. That I'm going to just learn to forgive and love people where they're at because it is what it is. And God is too good to me for me to walk in forgiveness, in unforgiveness. So I'm going to make the decision to forgive today and let it. The next time I see that person, yeah, feelings might try to jump up from the past. But I'm going to push past those feelings and walk in forgiveness because God's got too much in store for you to hold you hostage with unforgiveness. And so, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that we're going to let it go, that we're going to free our hearts, and we're going to watch God do amazing things in our lives. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise in the building. Hallelujah. So let me tell you what happens. You'll have a moment like this in church where the presence of God is here. And whether it was during me preaching or during me praying, something I said, it spoke to you. And that was God talking directly to you. And a lot of times, it's like you get the instructions you need, the wisdom you need. And so when you go out of these four walls, the Bible says, talks about the seed that's been sown and how the enemy will come in to immediately steal the seed that's been sown in our hearts. Don't let the enemy steal that. Something will happen to get you mad, to get you upset, to get husband and wives. You were just holding hands. You got it. And if you're not careful, he'll get you to fuss over, well, where are we going? I don't care. Well, let's go to Smithfield. I don't want to go to Smithfield. Okay, well, let's go to Burger King. I don't want to go to Burger King. Let's go. See, that's what I'm talking about. You know, and if you're not careful, you'll end up right back where you were before you came. But if you guard your heart, like we just did before, even though then you take a deep breath and say, man, I'm going to do it God's way so I can get God results. Listen, are you glad you came to church? Man, we're glad you came to church.